Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Radio, Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Radio app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Trigvi Olson, sitting in for Todd. I'm joined here. This is my second time, as all the loyal listeners know, sitting here in the captain's chair. And the truth of the matter is, I'm joined by the best co-pilot somebody could have, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Aaron, how are you today?
Doing well. Glad to have you back on. It was a lot of fun the first time, and we got another couple of great guests to talk with today.
We do. We have Tyler Dunn and Craig Gilbert. We're going to talk two of my favorite topics, Packers and politics, which is really how Tyler, and I'm going to have Tyler on here in a second, it's how Tyler and I got to know each other. Tyler asked me questions about politics. I asked him questions about the Packers. It's February 2nd. It's Groundhog's Day. The big news in Wisconsin, Charlie in Sun Prairie saw his shadow. No, didn't see his shadow.
Or Jimmy.
So Jimmy. Is it Jimmy?
Yes,
honestly,
Jimmy
there's
the groundhog.
So many groundhogs out there. All right, Jimmy in Sun Prairie. He did not see his shadow, which means that we are going to have an early spring in Wisconsin, which is a good thing. So I want to kick things off. I've got Tyler Dunn from Go Long TD. Tyler and I have known each other a long time, and I am really excited to have Tyler on to start off talking a little bit of NFL. Go Long TD is one of the best. I don't know what I spend every month, Tyler, 10 bucks, 12 bucks. I get podcasts with Tyler and Bob McGinn, like the old days when Tyler was at the Journal Sentinel. I get some of the best content on not only the Packers, but the NFL. And we'll talk about this a little bit. Tyler, 2.5 years ago, wrote a piece about Jordan Love and how good he would be. So, Tyler, welcome to the Todd Albaugh Show.
It is a pleasure, man, and an honor to be sitting here with you. It's I have to say at the top, I mean, you are a reason that a site like Go Long can exist and thrive. You were in day one, supporting, happy houring, reading, podcasting with us. And it's been awesome to get to know you, Trigvi. I mean, the tailgate bash that we did before that Packers-Bills game last season was so cool. Just to shoot the bull with you there at Fatty. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's just a great community. And the irony, I started telling you this off air, and then I got hung up. So when you were leaving the Journal Sentinel, when you were at the Journal Sentinel, which was what years were you there?
Would have been July of 2011 through May of 2015.
Right. So there's a good lesson in this about telling people thank you. So Craig Gilbert, who's my other guest, he and I are going to be talking about politics and maps and voter patterns in Wisconsin. He was at the Journal Sentinel, and I was dealing with him. And I reached out to him, and I said, hey, Craig, can you get me Tyler Dunn's email address at the Journal Sentinel? I want to send him an email just to say thank you and how much I learned about politics, really, from learning about the NFL from you. And you wrote me back, and you were like, no way. You're the Trigvi Olson who works in politics, right? We've been friends ever since. So here's what I want to start with, and I think this is kind of an interesting question. So people who subscribe to Go Along know this. You did a huge piece on Don Majkowski, right? He's from Buffalo originally?
Yeah, Depew, New York. So just like 10, 12 minutes outside of the city.
And he's pretty beat up. I mean, physically, he really, the NFL took a toll on his body based on the story you wrote.
Man, that's to put it mildly. You know, you're kind of bringing me back. It's been a couple years, but I mean, it's crazy to look back at some of the hits he took. Like, there's one of them. It's linked in the story. I think it was called, like, the Magic Man's Final Comeback, right? Because he was unbelievable at 89. The cardiac Packers, all kinds of comebacks. But the hits that he took, if it happened today, I feel like Roger Goodell would personally just remove that player from the field and lock him up. There's one against the Colts. You can find it on YouTube. It's nuts. And he played through this stuff. I mean, head to toe, just beat up, you know, brain trauma, obviously, but even beyond that, surgeries, screws in his body. it's crazy what the sport did to Don Majkowski, but he's doing well. I keep in touch with him. We talked before this football season for a little bit. And I think he's just, like a lot of these guys, trying to find a way to get by. And he's been fighting the good fight, too, you know, in terms of benefits and what players have been kind of entitled to for years and years. The NFL, it's, as Don said, it's deny and deny until you die. They do everything they can to not give you money for beating the hell out of you, basically.
Right. And so and then the next quarterback, obviously, if you subscribe to Go Along, you get to see Ty and Brett Favre podcast reminiscing about football. And Ty was gracious enough to have me come on and talk football with him and Brett Favre, which honestly, Ty, it was one of my favorite things I've ever gotten to do in life. And it was one of those moments, you know, as I said to Brett when we were on there, as his dad's gone, my parents are gone. It was one of those moments where I just wish I could have called my dad and had a conversation about that. Because at the end of the day, you know, football really is about, and I said this to Favre on that podcast, and I've said this to you before, you know, it's really about the memories that you take with your people around football, right? It's a catalyst for it. But Favre, you know, when you think about the job that he did as quarterback, right? He's the gunslinger. Talk with him a lot about that, right? So there's a difference between him and Majkowski. Then you got Aaron Rodgers, who Hall of Famer, like Favre. And now you got Jordan Love. So this is my question. Like, you know and have interacted with all these guys personally. What are the things that you see that are similar in terms of how Jordan Love is made up, how Majkowski was made up, who wasn't a Hall of Famer, and how Aaron Rodgers was made up as a person, not the being able to throw the ball 60 yards or the, you know, the 30 yard out, but like, what is it? Does Jordan Love have that it, that personality wise, that made those guys great?
That's a great question, because there definitely is a quality inside all four of them that kind of carries through era to era, decade to decade. And Don Majkowski saw it. Like, this is before Jordan Love even started his first game this season. I didn't even write a story on it. We were just kind of shooting the bull before the year. And I asked Don, like, how's this going to go with Jordan Love? From what you can see from afar, what pops with this quarterback that is this great mystery? And he could tell, even from his vantage point, that those rare instances in which Jordan Love was out there, and even watching it in the preseason games, it seemed like guys gravitated toward him. Teammates wanted to be around him. They rallied around him. And it's one of those things, I think, that can sound kind of cliche, but it's really not the case with all quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, not all teammates want to just run through brick walls for their starting quarterback, but he could kind of see it, you know, just little signs here and there. Because here's a guy during the strike season, he kind of had the same effect with players. You know, he's gathering Packer teammates together to run over some plays. And I believe it was Randy Wright was around then too.
Oh yeah. He for sure.
He didn't really have that effect to him.
No.
He said, you know, Randy, he couldn't really galvanize guys in the way that Don naturally was able to. So strike ends, he returns. He's kind of got that built-in rapport with teammates. And then obviously Brett Favre. I mean, that's who he was. He's the ultimate teammate. He's tackling him in the end zone. He might knock you out. He loves you so much. And that was instant. Guys loved Brett. And I get it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella, as Ted and Mark Murphy both have noted, right?
Right.
But I think early on, you know, he's younger in age. So he's kind of relating to a lot of those players in ways that maybe Brett couldn't. And that kind of carries through. You've got to be a likable, lovable quarterback teammate. You know, it's you can't just kind of look at yourself as above everybody. I don't think any of them did that, especially early on.
Right. And Jordan Love seems to have that. Yeah. I mean, that
he definitely has.
They want to play. They leadership. And so what we're really saying, and this is, you know, part of the reason I asked you that question is I wondered if you were going to go there. You know, part of the reason I learned a lot about politics from talking football with you is, you know, leadership at the end of the day is such an important quality. And I think this is true. If it's business, if it's politics, if it's football, right, sports, that, you know, there's lots of guys that can throw the ball a long way or can skate fast or whatever. But it's that ability to inspire others that is kind of the difference maker, maybe.
I mean, look at the end of Rodgers' time in Green Bay. You know, he gets to the point where he's holding the team hostage all offseason and then not showing up to OTAs in back-to-back years. And he's just kind of older, crankier, ornery, wanted the GM fired that one summer anyways. And kind of simultaneously, Jordan's getting closer with these players, these backs, these receivers. And then ends, and then the season is in what, like a month and a half, yet he's not going to Cabo, he's not, you know, loafing on the couch, he's getting guys together. And I think that time it was important on the field, you know, the running routes and figuring out how a Romeo Doubs likes to in break and out break and what they're seeing in coverage, all that stuff. But I think the report, the bonding aspect off the field is just as important, and he realized it, he valued it. And it took a while, you know, in the season for it to kind of manifest itself. Right. But once it did, this offense was pretty unstoppable for about a month.
Yeah, they inspired. I think all of Wisconsin sort of thought maybe this is happening. But at the end of the day, you know, the reality is, I think when I'm back with my buddies in River Falls, right, everybody's looking forward to what's to come. And that he gave hope. Really, at the end of the day. So we're talking to Tyler Dunn from Go Long TD. We're going to have a break here coming up in a second, so I'm just going to ask a quick question. Super Bowl prediction, and then we'll come back in the next bit. I want to talk to you about tight ends because there's a tight end in the news. But Super Bowl prediction, what do you think is going to happen?
Kansas City by double digits. I have no clue what's going on in Vegas and why San Francisco is favored in this game. Really? I don't want to say the fix is in, but it's weird.
That's fascinating. I kind of think, you know, San Francisco, and you know more about football than I do, but San Francisco has looked vulnerable. I mean, the Packers should have beat them. The Lions should have beat them. And, man, that Kansas City team, what they did in Baltimore is something else. I mean, and that's the thing about football, right? Like, you don't know where it's going. All right, we're going to come back on the next half. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm Trigvi Olson. I'm being joined by Tyler Dunn. You're listening to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Trigvi Olson sitting in for Todd. I'm joined by Tyler Dunn. We're talking a little bit of Packer football before we get into politics with Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ty is formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, too. He currently runs something called Go Long TD. Tell me this, Ty. So you're a guy from upstate New York, right? And we've talked about this, but I think listeners across the state of Wisconsin would appreciate this. Tell a little bit about your experience coming to Wisconsin, right? Like, you know, you're a young guy. How was it?
Well, if you're in your early 20s and you want to live it up in your prime, that's where you go, right? You go to Northeast Wisconsin, where it's nice and cold and windy. And bone chill, freezing. No, I tell you what, man, I loved living in Wisconsin. I grew up in Buffalo, so, you know, the cold isn't anything new. Went to college at Syracuse. But I loved it out there so much, Trigvi. I thought about buying a house at one point. You know, great job at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Amazing colleagues, Bob McGinn, Tom Silverstein, Lori Nickel, my boss, Mike Davis, George Stanley, Marty Kaiser. I mean, the paper, it was unbelievable to me. I love living in Green Bay. You know, I'm a small town guy, so to me, Green Bay felt like a big city. And yeah, I don't know. I thought about putting the roots down and maybe staying there long term. And at some point, though, I think this happens to a lot of folks, especially here in Western New York. You feel that magnetic pull of home. You know, it was my sister had a baby, and then a second, And, you know, I'm just a single dude thinking, where do I want to live geographically? The Buffalo News had an opening to cover the Bills, and it was tough. Don't get me wrong. It was really tough to leave, but ended up going back to Buffalo. And even though I've had a few jobs since then, I've been able to kind of stay right here and now have a home and a wife and a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old that are literally napping right over my shoulder.
And a great business. You really do. And you've, I mean, here's the thing. And this is one of the things I don't think I've ever said this to you, but like I view it as something that I respect, right? Like you and Bob McGinn, you're a young guy and I've had mentors too. I think Bob was probably a real mentor to you. Not only that, he was like kind of making sure you were okay. Right. But you know, you and Bob do the podcast now, like Bob's sort of retired, but he does your podcast and working with you. You know, that's a lot, right? And tell a little bit about, I mean, I'm sure that most of the listeners who are Packer fans, they remember reading Bob McGinn because quite honestly, the coverage at the Journal Sentinel has never been the same since Bob left the building. What's that like?
Yeah, I tell everybody who listen, you know, as exceptional of a reporter and writer and thinker in pro football as Bob McGinn is, he's in the Hall of Fame, right? Dick McCann Award winner. Wrote the ultimate Super Bowl book. I mean, he is the sport. He is 100,000% a better human being than all of that. He's just such a great guy. You know him. I mean, I can call him any moment. When I lived out there, I could go to his home and knock on the door and crack open a beer and talk about life for him at any moment. He's just through the roof. So number one, to be able to have him at Go Long now, podcasting and bringing his draft series over and writing some columns. It's so cool because it gives me an excuse to hang out with a mentor. You know, he's like my family was all here in Western New York. I'm out in Green Bay. I called him like a Green Bay dad. Like I'd spend Thanksgivings with his family. And 1 year Green Bay played on Christmas Day. So I'm Christmas with his family. Just unbelievable person. I think everybody should know it. And yeah. I mean, it blows me away, Trigby. Like his work ethic at this age, at this point of his life, it remains mind-blowing. You know, let's just say I've been around some people who have covered the NFL for a long time and other places, and it's like bizarro world. I mean, nobody comes close to Bob's organization. Talking to people all of the time to learn more about this game. I mean, to have that as a mentor at such a young age, it meant the world. I don't know. I honestly don't know where I'd be without Bob McGinn.
Right. And I mean, that's one of the things for listeners, you know, because a lot of listeners, listen to Todd's show for news, but there's a lot of politics in Todd's show. You know, one of the reasons why Tyler and I think became fast friends is, you know, I work with a lot of reporters who cover politics, and it's fascinating to me to for Tyler and I to talk about the similarities, because how the NFL is covered and how politics is covered have a lot of similarities, and reporters themselves and people working in the business. And through this, I've gotten to know a friend of Tyler's who also does a podcast, Jim Monas, who's a former NFL front office guy. You know who the good reporters are and the bad reporters are pretty quick. And the ones that are just looking for clickbait versus the one who are doing real in-depth stories and journalism. And whether it's politics or football, and certainly for those who are interested in politics, it's important to figure out who those are. And a lot of times they aren't necessarily writing stuff that you agree with them about. Like, it's easy for a guy like Aaron Rodgers to romance or a politician to romance a reporter and give them some stories, and they'll write whatever they want. What you got to find if you want to be an informed fan of football, this is what I learned from Tyler, or an informed fan of politics, well, a informed citizen in politics, you got to find those reporters who are writing things that you may not agree with, but that you know are casting the story the way that they understand it, learning about the topic. And I mean, both you and Bob do that. It's hard work, though. It's hard work to do that. So let me ask you another question.
It. Thanks, Trigby.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really true. Tell me this, and then I hope you can stick with us through the next bit after this, because then I want to talk tight ends. How do you feel about the Packers' future? Like, are you optimistic? I know you grew up a Packer fan. I mean, that's one of the great pieces of all of this. Like, you grew up a Packer fan. How are you feeling? The tie that it was cheering for Brett Favre in the Pack.
Isn't that something, man? It's like, as a kid here in Western New York, my dad and I, our best memories, every other year we'd go back to Lambeau, and you know, I can remember the first game. I think they played the Lions in like 99. Corey Bradford making a crazy one-handed catch in the corner. But, you know, you get into journalism, and, you know, I interned out there in college for a couple summers, and it was like a 180. You quickly, like, lose that fan. It's kind of sad, really. You just stop being a fan of everything, and you root for a good story. But I always could kind of relate to the passion of those fans, and I think that it, in terms of how the fans should be thinking right now, they should be damn excited. I think Jordan Love is here to stay. I think all along he's had the traits that you can't necessarily coach. You know he's gonna bust his butt in every possible way to improve his weaknesses, which isn't cliche. Not every quarterback is willing to do it. That's how Josh Allen was able to improve his accuracy. The best of the very best, they know how to attack it in the offseason. And then he's got the big arm, and then he's got the athleticism, and then he's got that ability to just connect with teammates. I think he's a special, special quarterback and leader, and he already has a great group of receivers around him. It's only going to get better.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, we're talking to Tyler Dunn, who's from Go Long TD. He writes some of the best content on professional football. He's obviously focuses heavily on the Packers. He wrote a great piece on Romeo Doubs. And the thing of the piece, what I loved about that piece, Ty, and we can talk about it on the other side. And Steven from Green Bay wants to talk to you about the city of Green Bay. But the piece on Romeo Doubs was awesome because Tyler's stories really get to the heart of who these guys are. And in Romeo Doubs' case, you know, what that guy had to overcome to get to where he is and how hard he worked to get there. This is the Todd Abaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back after the break. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app, this is the Todd Abaugh Show. I am not Todd Abaugh, nor could I play him on TV, but I am sitting in for him. I'm Trygve Olsen on the radio today. I'm joined by Aaron Zomers on the board, and we have a special guest, Tyler Dunn. We're talking about one of my two favorite topics, the Green Bay Packers, which in Wisconsin and on the Civic Media Radio Network, you never go wrong talking politics or the Packers. We're going to get a little bit into sort of where politics and football have been meeting. But before I do that, Steven from Green Bay wants to ask Tyler a question. Steven, are you there?
I am.
How are you today, sir? We've talked before. You called in last time. You have a question for Tyler about City of Green Bay. Go ahead.
Not really a question, just more of a broad statement, and then he can, you know, piggyback and add whatever he wants to that. But I remember as a little kid watching the Packers with my grandpa, and my grandpa had a rule. When the Packer game was on, you did not speak, and if you did, you got threw out of his apartment. But with that being said, I as a little kid, my dream was just to be able to stand inside Lambeau Field. And now I not only have stood in Lambeau Field, but I live in the city of Green Bay, and I get to pass Lambeau Field every single day. And I'm truly blessed. But the city of Green Bay as a whole, and your guest, you know, shortly, very, very briefly covered this, but the city of Green Bay is, in my opinion, and I might be a little biased, one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. It's a small town feel, but you don't have to leave the city to get anything. We have fine restaurants, bars, entertainment, plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice, the epitome of what that means in the state of Wisconsin. And then, of course, you have the Packers, but not only the Packers. You have the Blizzard Arena football team. You have the Gamblers hockey team. The Rush Center that hosts several different events. And on the politics side of things, a community that is very invested in politics and really is invested in the future of not only the state of Wisconsin, but the United States as a whole. So, I mean, you have everything you could ever dream of in the city of Green Bay. And I'm truly fortunate and blessed to be a resident of the city.
I love that, Stephen. And I don't know about Ty. I'm from River Falls on the other side of the state. Totally agree. Green Bay is a fantastic place. Ty?
It is. I mean, we could talk about Green Bay, Wisconsin, and just life in Green Bay, Wisconsin for an hour. I mean, those were all just exceptional points. I mean, in every possible way. The Meyer Theater, like downtown, we forget about the other side of the Fox River. That's where I lived. Like, I know the Lambeau side has been developed and the Titletown district is kind of larger than life, and it's all pretty cool. Looked like a different place when I was there for that Romeo Dobbs story you referenced. But across the river, man, the Meyer Theater, I can remember seeing Trampled by Turtles over there. They were awesome. You know, you've got Fox River. The Hagemeister Park. Sorry, one of my kids just woke up. If you hear some crying, threw me off. Fox River Pub. You know, you go down there and see my buddy Kyle Cousineau. Great restaurants. Republic Chop House. That's where I met up with Romeo for steaks.
Yep.
You've got everything you could possibly want. And, of course, you know, beer. And you know what else is pretty cool? You go to the DMV, you're in and out in about 2 minutes.
Oh, my God. So, you know, me being in Virginia now, and there's no car tax in the state of Wisconsin, which is also a great thing. But you are right about DMV in Wisconsin versus other states. If you have a chance to see that, that is totally true. I think, you know what I think people might find interesting, Ty, and you and I talked about it with Favre a little bit, and I know on some of the other podcasts you talked about it, how welcoming he, even when he was just a kid, right? He was like, how old was Brett Favre when he came to Green Bay? Maybe 23, 24, whatever?
Yeah.
Like, he's telling about his neighbors coming over when he moved into his Rambler in, like, Green Bay, bringing him cookies and stuff, not knowing, you know, who he was, right? Like, you could there, just, that is unique.
It
really is.
It is, and it's easy to take for granted when you're in that kind of world, I think, and in that kind of neighborly environment, but it is so true. Like, this isn't an exaggeration, Trigby. Like, I'd go out to the bars as a 22, 23-year-old, I lived at River's Edge, an apartment complex on the river, and I'm like, what am I? You know, I'm a new person in town, but you could literally go by yourself. Yep. And Fox Harbor, God, how did I forget the name? I was there every weekend.
Oh yeah,
Fox Harbor. Pub. Walk into Fox Harbor by yourself and come away with five new friends, like instantly. Yeah. Like it just is. It's a different kind of vibe. It's a different kind of atmosphere, and the Miller Lite is basically currency.
And we have a comment from Tony on YouTube who says, Green Bay was USA Today's number one city to live in.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
there
me.
There you go.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it is a great place. And I, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot on this show is, you know, some of those things that have been foundational because of some of the political divides that we have in the country, like people are letting that in states like Wisconsin start to divide them in ways that strip away a little bit of that. And, you know, Stephen alluded to, you know, Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, might lean a little center right, but city a little bit more left. But you know, people in Green Bay work together. I mean, when it came to remodeling the Packers and all that stuff that's going on, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? Man, they're wearing green and gold hats, right? Yeah. And that's, you know, that we can't let that get stripped away. But I want to, and to that end, I want to talk to you a little bit. You wrote the definitive book on tight ends. and we're not that kind of show. It's called Blood and Glory. Blood and Guts, how the tight ends saved the NFL. And this is a true story. So when we were up in Buffalo, I was there with my daughters to see the Bills play. Tyler invited us out to this bar with a bunch of other Wisconsin people and some Buffalo people. And as listeners know from my Wednesday appearances, my daughters, we love going to Packer games. They love the older one loves the Packers. Ty, I got halfway through that book and Ula stole it. And so today I was like, I couldn't remember if you wrote about Kelsey. And then I was like, you know, that book, I only got like halfway through it. I got to Kellen Winslow and then I like disappeared. Right. And it turns out it was in Ula's room. She had read it. So,
love it. But, that's great.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, there's a tight end in the news, Kelsey. Here's the thing that I don't want to get into the whole Taylor Swift Kelce thing at the moment, but what I do want to get into is, like, tell how good Travis Kelce is in the annals of, you know, you wrote a book on the 15 greatest tight ends of all time. Like, how good is he, and how hard do you have to work to be that good at a position like that?
You know, I'm working on a story at Go Along, actually, ahead of the Super Bowl, on the common denominators that you see in Mike Ditka, Jeremy Shockey, Rob Gronkowski, even a little bit of Tony Gonzalez, and to Kelce, where a lot of these guys, man, they lived on the edge, especially in those college years. Like, they pushed the envelope a little bit. A lot of drinking, a lot of partying, mm-hmm. a lot of hell raising. But it's in some roundabout way, like, you kind of need that edge to become one of the best tight ends ever. I mean, like, Ditka almost drove himself to the point of death. And this was when he was in the NFL, like, when he's with the Bears and then he goes to the Eagles, he opened up in our conversation for the book. I mean, he's in Philly just drinking himself into oblivion, to where he's living in a haze. And basically Tom Landry calls him and saves his life. He gets to Dallas, he turns his life around, and actually wins a Super Bowl too, and now he's larger than life, you know, post-playing days. But Gronk, he pushed himself. Shockey pushed himself. And I think Kelce too. I was talking to his college quarterback this morning, and Zach Claris, he said they enjoyed their share of beer in their college frat house. You know, they come up with all these wacky drinking games, and I think it's hard to connect it, but there is something to be said for being a wild child off the field and then knowing how to use that personality and that temperament on it. Like Gronkowski said, you know, there was nothing better than partying, drinking, and running people over. At his heyday, nobody did it better.
Right. I think the thing that, you know, so I have a friend who was an Olympic athlete. It's his sibling. And I remember we were out of college maybe, but we were up at a cabin. We were all there. That person was there who ended up in the Olympics. And we had been drinking and whatever. And the rest of us are all laying around hungover, 6 a.m. That person's out running, right?
Yeah.
Like, the one, they make it, you know, it's easy to be the guy out partying all night. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to be the guy who's partying all night, who's up at 6 a.m. lifting weights and running. But that's kind of probably is what all those guys, the common denominator. They didn't just lay around hungover. They got up and did what they had to do.
Shockey would almost feel guilty. Like, him and Gronk both, and Gronk looked up to Shockey. That was like his hero. But Shockey was telling me, like, you know, he'd be partying hard in New York City, wake up in the middle of the night and just do 75 push-ups or sit-ups, right, just because he felt guilty. Like, if I'm partying this hard, I got to work 10 times harder. So I think Gronk was the same way. He'd get up with his brothers and do a P90X workout to burn it off.
So you think
you're
that's
absolutely
the
right, Trigby.
But do you think that's the common denominator? I mean, you've met a lot of NFL guys. Like, is the common denominator really, at the end of the day, with the ones who have huge success, one, right place, right time? Like, you know, Brett Favre, if he stays in Atlanta, might not be anybody. Tom Brady, if Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, he might not have ever been Tom Brady. But the other piece of that is, like, what separates the Michael Jordans or the Kobe Bryants or the Brett Favres or whatever, Aaron Rodgers, is that willingness to just not be denied. There's other guys who could throw the ball further than Aaron Rodgers, maybe not Brett Favre, but, like, you know, didn't make it at all. Jamarcus Russell or whoever. Right?
Look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if he goes to another team, you know, Chicago, here in Buffalo, the owner loved Patrick Mahomes, but it was a new regime. They didn't want to rush into the quarterback decision. Jim Onis, my podcast co-host that you referenced, I mean, he was on that staff. Like, they passed on Patrick Mahomes. But even Onis would say, like, if he comes to Buffalo, you're coached by Rick Dennison, David Culley, on your offensive staff underneath Sean McDermott. And you look at that receiving core. They had nothing. I mean, the cupboard was bare. Now, I think Mahomes is so freaking good, he would have figured it out eventually. But it's not exactly Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, right? Like,
right.
And then, but to take it to that next level, you're right. I mean, Mahomes just has that ability to I mean, he won a Super Bowl last year with a broke, you know, with a severely sprained ankle on one good leg. He's got that ability to just cannon blast through any obstacle that's in front of him. I mean, and that carries from high school to college to the pros. Everybody seems to have a legendary tale of Patrick Mahomes. So it's right place, right time. But it's that ability to just take over the moment you want to take over. And I feel like he is smelling blood right now. Like, right. He's trying to manufacture adversity and find any slight that he can at this point, because he's already won a couple of Super Bowls. And they've been underdogs three games in a row. He's absolutely going to be using that however he can. And that's what Jordan did. That's what Kobe did. That's what Tiger, all these guys did.
And I mean, that rising to the moment, right? Like, they're the right person at the right time, but they have something in them that to answer the call. And, you know, I saw that in my work around the world. You know, I met like these guys like Lech Walesa, right? Like, he just, there was something about him meeting his moment. And Favre talked about that, right? It's all about making plays when somebody has to stand up and make the play. That's one of the things that really I've taken from our conversations about football and applied to the stuff that I do is that transcends a lot of sports and other things. The greatness, you know, it's Brett Favre rolling to the left against the Lions and chucking it cross field to Sterling Sharp. And sometimes that works out. Sometimes, like when he was in a Viking uniform, thank God it didn't. But that is huge. Ty, can you stay with us for one more break and then come back? All right. This is the Todd Aubaugh Show. I'm Trygve Olsen, guest host, and we'll be back after the break with a little bit more of Tyler Dunn. Thank you. Welcome back to the Todd Aubaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Trygve Olsen, sitting in for Todd Aubaugh. I'm joined by Tyler Dunn from Go Long TD, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel long ago. One of the, I mean, really bright journalists talking about football. We have Aaron Zomers on the board, who that was a perfect cue in, Aaron. Ty, I wanna play you a little clip. We got to talk. You can't do this without talking about the 10,000 pound elephant in the room with the Super Bowl. I want to play a clip with Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk, who you probably know and have interviewed, talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
NFL Films released some mic'd up footage of Travis Kelce. And there's one particular clip that has certainly made its way around the internet. And all the people that wanted these two to fail, and all the people that wanted this to be fake, and all these people that were wishing failure upon Tavis, had to watch this video and go, oh, maybe they're humans, and they like each other, and are perfect for each other. Here's immediately after winning the AFC Championship and being dominant, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Give us a path, guys. Give us a path. Thank you.
Clear way.
Clear way, guys. Thank you.
Tay, I'm going to enjoy it with you guys over here. I love you.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, so much fun.
Ever. Here we go, guys. Give me a pass.
So now you got clear the ears. He says, seemingly,
yeah,
I love you. She says, I love you back. And then there is now reports, and I haven't really heard it as clear as other people seemingly have, where she says she's never been more proud of anybody ever than with Travis Kelce. It's like, let's go! Mm-hmm. Hey, they found each other.
So here's the thing, right? Like one of the things I think we sometimes, and this, we've talked about this before, right? In my line of work, politics, sometimes people forget that politicians are human beings. I think in your work too, Ty, people sometimes forget, like, pro athletes are human beings too. I don't understand how this is, and so are entertainers, right? Like, it's a weird place when we've gotten to where people forget that. celebrity has become that.
I know. It's, I think I'm always a little skeptical of the NFL. I should say cynical of the NFL and its motives as a multi-billion dollar company. So like that was my first reaction when I started seeing the NFL social media accounts themselves promoting Taylor Swift and playing into this. I'm like, oh, of course, like, they will be making money off of one of the most famous people in the world. And then you start thinking about, oh, it benefits him this way and maybe her this way, but she doesn't really need any help because she's, you know, larger than life.
Half a billion social media followers, literally.
Right. She doesn't need the NFL. But like, as this thing kept going on and going on, it's like, wait a minute. Like, maybe they have a genuine relationship. Maybe they do love each other. God forbid. So, I mean, Taylor Swift can't tell the cameras not to show her. Like, she's just there to support her boy. I don't know. It's such a weird thing that so many folks are worked up about. I just don't care. Maybe I should care more. The only thing I wish is that she would date Justin Vernon of Bon Iver there in Wisconsin because they make such great music together. I mean, everything that they do is gold. So I really wish that they were dating and not Travis Kelce for that reason, selfishly. But they seem like a good couple. They seem happy.
Right.
So great.
So you know what's crazy is so McAfee and AJ Hawk, right, are on there. And they get talking about McAfee. I mean, I think Kelce goes on their show, right? And that's another whole piece of sports that's weird. You know, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys going on these shows, right? But McAfee says, you know, he starts talking about it and he's like, you know, Taylor Swift dated musicians, and any musician Taylor Swift dates, she's the big dog in the relationship professionally. Whereas now she's dating a football player. Travis Kelce is arguably the best, certainly today, at what he does, in the same way that Taylor Swift is the best at what she does. But he also makes a point, is like, maybe this is a perfect thing because, you know, Travis Kelce he's not the top dog in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is, right? Like, and so he's okay not having all the limelight. And so they kind of get into this, and it's like, at the end of the day, right, football is entertainment. And if it's attracting new people to what's a great game, right, like, you know, and they're happy, I don't understand why everybody's getting in the middle of it. It just really is nuts.
That's a good point. How does it really affect anybody? And like you said earlier, they're human beings. You know, I was out there in Wisconsin just a couple of weeks ago with the Romeo Dobbs story, but also Jonathan Owens. And Jonathan Owens is married to Simone Biles. And I was just so blown away by their love story. I mean, he opened up on everything for that piece. And I'm sure you saw it, Trigby, where like they're on this dating app. And he had no clue who Simone Biles was.
No, none.
Like he sees like that she's a gymnast, and then he sees that she's got so many followers. He's like, wow, she must be pretty good. And then they start dating during COVID. So they're hanging out all of the time. They can't leave their house. They're down in the Houston area. And they're genuinely getting to know each other. They never talked about football.
Right.
They never talked about gymnastics. It was just like two people falling in love. Like anybody in the world. And I just thought that was so cool. And I mean, I don't know Kelce and Taylor Swift, how they fell for each other. Right. Our impulse is to think that their marketing people like devised a plan in a boardroom. And who knows? Maybe that happened. I don't know.
I think it's legit. He took a shot. He wanted to meet her at the concert and she didn't. And he called him out on his podcast. And then I saw a thing that I know a lot of this because I have teenage girls, but Erin Andrews is the one who set him up. She was a mutual friend of both. And she just called up Taylor Swift and said, I don't know, you know, where you're at, but if you're not dating anybody, you should really give this guy a shot. He's a good guy. And you know what? That's not a lot different than how a lot of people meet. Right? You go, you know, I don't know how you met your wife. Mine was, you know, you take a shot in a bar and somebody verifies, yeah, he's a good guy. And boom, you know, you're off.
It's almost harder for celebrities too and athletes because you're trying to find somebody who loves you for you. You know what I mean? Like Simone Biles doesn't want somebody just worshiping her for her achievements on the mat. Like she wants somebody to love her for her.
Yeah.
I imagine Taylor Swift is the same way. And they got to that place. Yeah.
Well, so I think that was it in your piece? He didn't, they had been dating for quite a while before he knew how many gold medals she'd won. It came out in conversation, which is kind of weird in its own way, right? Oh, and by the way, I won like 26 gold medals.
What? Right. You know, they go out to her favorite ice cream place in Houston, and he couldn't believe that like everybody was fawning over her and going nuts, and they're asking him to take pictures of her with it. Like, that's when it hit him. Like, oh my God, okay, she is larger than life.
All right, this is the Todd Aubaugh radio show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tyler, thanks so much for coming on. It was awesome to get to talk to you. If you don't, subscribe to Go Long TD like I do, and we will be back.